Today on Real Radio.
If you don't get disciplined by God, the Bible says you are illegitimate. That means you may be religious, but you don't belong to God. God punishes his kids.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series on the parables of Jesus. Matthew chapter 18, which is the context of our study here today, is among the New Testament passages that feature more than one parable. And today's lesson focuses on verses 22 through 35. But we're also taking into account some earlier verses where we read of a little conversation between Jesus and Peter about forgiveness. This compelled our Lord to tell the parable of the unmerciful servant. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The temptation is to not follow God in this one because we'll emotionally think, I know better. I've been hurt so bad. That person beat me. That person molested me. That person robbed me. That person took my child or took what? Fill in the book. Doesn't matter. You have to understand something. If you hang with me these next few weeks, you have to understand there may be, you may be on the brink of a radical spiritual explosion in your life because maybe up until now you've completely misunderstood what forgiveness is all about. Forgiveness is for you. Forgiveness is a power. Forgiveness is a liberator. And for any of us who, and we've all been tempted to fold up our arms and build up that wall and say, I will not forgive that person. We have missed it. God has given us the ability to forgive that we might be freed from the power of that person's sin against us. Now listen, I have to say this. This is some house cleaning here tonight. There are people, and I know, there are people who attend this church and they come every week. And they live in sin. He has his affairs going on, or she's got her affairs going on, and then they turn. The one who is having an affair turns and says, you heard him tonight. You heard the sermon, didn't you? You have to forgive me. And by the way, you'll have to forgive me next week when I go out with her again or with him again. And you'll have to forgive me the week after that. This happens in people's lives who say they're Christians. The Bible says they are not Christians, but they have in fact deceived themselves. That's house cleaning tonight. That's church family stuff. I can do whatever I want, and you have to forgive me. Listen, this is not the context of what we're talking about. We're talking about believers here. And by the way, this parable has nothing to do with salvation and having it and losing it. It has to do with fellowship and relationship between brothers or sisters in the family of God. Don't read into this parable what's not to be read into it. This is serious stuff. So we've made it to now point number one. And at this pace, we'll be here for a month. The parable of the unmerciful servant, verses 22 to 25 is this, church. Be like Jesus. That's what Jesus is inviting us to do. Be like Jesus and be forgiving. Will you write that down, please? Be forgiving. Christians are to be forgiving. We are unlike all other people on earth. The Christian is mandated to be forgiven. Not because God bends our arm and says, forgive them because I told you to. But the Christian obeys this command to forgive because we lean back upon. Listen, even when our emotions say, I'd rather see that person who hurt me rot in hell and be run over by a truck. That's what your emotions say. The Bible, Jesus said, we are to pray for those who spitefully use us. There's no other religion on the planet. There's no other faith in the world that has that standard. Because God, what's going on? Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh, says, listen, you want to follow me? Then you forgive like I forgive. And you say, I can't do it. I agree with you. I can't do it either. It's impossible for us to do it. Without the Holy Spirit, it's impossible. But let me tell you, oh, please hear me. If you tonight begin to have this at least, Lord, I have unforgiveness in my heart toward that person or toward those people or toward that whatever. And I'm asking you, I'm hearing this message and I'm asking you, God, because I just grinds my teeth. I hear their name and I just seethe and I just get angry. And Lord, you know I'm justified. They really did this to me. They really hurt me. That if I could, I'd grab them by the neck and I would shake them. In Jesus' name, I would lay hands on them. Right? That's how you feel. But God, I'm asking you, listen, can we all do this? This is where we begin. God, I'm asking you, will you make my heart willing to be like Jesus and be forgiving? Corrie Ten Boom, read about her life. Her sister, during the German rise, the Nazi rise in World War II, her sister, when the Nazis came into their town, beat them all up, by the way, and molested them all, but raped her sister to death, the SS. And Corrie wound up meeting up years later with some of the abusers. It was in a church service in Europe. Can you believe that? The plan of God. And she writes about how she was incredibly filled with the love of God for those SS officers and forgiveness. That's impossible without the work of God. And that's the joy and the beauty of what we're talking about tonight. I can't forgive that person. I can never let that go. Listen, that's true in your humanity. That's right. But listen, God, the Holy Spirit, will give you the power to forgive. And at the same very time that he does that, he will open your eyes to the understanding of how much he has forgiven you. You see, that's the thing. When I begin to understand how much God has forgiven me, now I find that I can turn to those who have offended me and hurt me. This is discipleship, church. I don't care what you say or what books you write or what things you preach or what this you're on or what big audience you've got or what group you're in or whatever it is or what your name is or what your status is. You can't, listen, you and I can't do this, then listen, we are not even worthy to bear the name of Jesus. He is forgiving and he forgives. He's awesome. He refers to himself as a certain king. He answers Peter, listen, not seven times, but 70 times seven. And he begins now to illustrate by saying there was a certain king. As I relate to you regarding the kingdom of heaven, there's a certain king. And he's saying here that there came time to settle the accounts. By the way, the word implies a king of overwhelming wealth beyond. Well, how do you know? Because, watch this, you hear the gospel in the parable. The man owes the king, the servant owes the master, the king, so much that it would take him 100 lifetimes to pay him back. That's big bucks. And the master says, I forgive the debt. That means that we're looking at and we're considering the grace of God. How rich is Jesus concerning his ability to forgive? The answer is unlimited. You think Bill Gates has got a lot of money? Listen, what Bill Gates thinks he has in money, God has in forgiveness a billion times innumerable numbers more. There is no sin, hear me out, there is no sin that you and I could have ever committed or commit that is unable to be washed by the blood of Jesus if we repent. Now, I'm not saying go out and sin because his blood will cover. No, 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 you can't do that. But he's that rich in forgiveness. So there's no doubt Peter is thinking, and this is beautiful, mark this down. You can kind of get inside Peter's mind. Listen, Peter's Jewish. He knows the scriptures. And so, you think Peter pulled that number out of nowhere, seven? Oh, no, no, no. This is a big deal. Are you listening? This is fun stuff. In Amos chapter 2, verse 6, the Bible tells us, this is what the Lord says. The people of Israel have sinned again and again, and I will not let them go unpunished. In the Hebrew, it's three times. The children of Israel have sinned against me three times, and I will not let them go unpunished. Why? Because Israel is God's chosen, and he disciplines his chosen. Are you a child of God tonight? Then listen, you step out of line, and God will speak to you. He'll say, don't do that. And you'll say, well, whatever. And then you step out of line again, and he'll say, I'm telling you, don't do that. And you say, well, you know, I got away with it once. It appears I'm getting away with it again. And then you do it a third time, and God says, all right. I mean, I know I'm not supposed to say this because it's like, I think against the law in California, but he's going to pull out a paddle and he's going to thump you. What's the old saying? He's going to apply the Board of Education to the seat of knowledge. Is that what it is? He loves us. If you don't get disciplined by God, the Bible says you are illegitimate. That means you may be religious, but you don't belong to God. God punishes his kids. And notice, Peter, being a good Jewish boy, remembering the scriptures, knows Amos 2:6. And he, okay, so God responds in three. Watch this. I'll double that. I'll make it six. And just to be super gracious, I'm going to add one. Seven. And there's no doubt that the rest of the disciples are going, oh, man, Peter, that's awesome. I mean, that is like huge graciousness, Peter. And Jesus, who, of course, is en route to the cross, knows the expense of sin. Can you imagine if Jesus died on the cross and somewhere in the Bible it said, I will forgive you seven times? Church, did you hear me? What if the Bible says that God says to us, come to me, I'll save you, I'll take you to heaven, but I can only forgive you up seven times. Eighth time, you're out. Could you imagine? No, Jesus says, no, 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 Peter. 70 times 7, which again to the Jewish mind means a lot. Has God dealt with the nation of Israel in the book of Daniel? The 490 is very specific number for God dealing with his nation, with his people. But in the context of sin, Jesus is not saying 489, 490. Oh no, 491. You're out. No, no, he's not saying that at all. Note this. Here's the situation. This is why Peter asks. Remember, he's still stuck in verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained your brother. Church, listen, this is, Jesus is telling us, has someone sinned against you? Are you, listen, right now tonight, don't jump up and say yes. Don't say, he's sitting right over there. Don't do that. But is there someone in your life that you have not forgiven or they have sinned against you? They've offended you. And God is speaking to you tonight. The Holy Spirit is saying, it's, person. I will not spiritually advance. You and I will not grow. We will not have revival in our lives until this is dealt with now. Effective tonight. God is saying to us, you go to that person alone. Do you know what that means? I'll tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean tweet. It doesn't mean Facebook. It doesn't mean whatever else is out there. You don't tell your neighbor. If Joe has sinned against Fred, Joe and Fred get together. And we're going to learn there's a way to get together. There's a way to do this. And we are hypocrites and we are sinning when we think that we're walking with Jesus and there's this baggage we're dragging behind of unforgiveness towards someone who's wronged us. And we think that we're being used by God or the power of God or whatever's going on in our lives, and we've got this trash that we're dragging. We were deceiving ourselves. Jesus says, no, no, no. In another place, we'll get to it in a few weeks or months. Jesus says, listen, you and your brother have got something going and you're at each other's throat. Jesus says, leave your gift at the altar. Don't come and do some God stuff when this is going on. Jesus says, stop right there. Leave your spiritual actions alone and go settle it with your brother or your sister. Isn't it awesome? Do you hear that? Are you a stranger to the Bible? Are you a stranger to God? Hear this loud and clear. Our God is real. He's alive. He's the one and only God. And he's so personal that, and so true and so loving that he says, I don't need your religious trash. I don't need your prayers. Go get along with your neighbor, your husband, your wife, your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, your grandma, grandpa, your grandkids, whatever it is, your boss, your employees. Fix it. This is how real God is. Fix that. Because I'm a relational God. And we need to do that. So how do I do that? That's what we'll be studying about. This whole thing. And Jesus says, listen. He says, if your brother sinned against you, verse 15, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Alone. That's safe, you know. That means humility. It's a humble setting. You go to him alone. Listen, brother. Did I understand you right? You called... You said to those guys that, did I understand this right? That I'm a jerk? Did I hear that right? Give opportunity. No, that's not what I said. Let them respond. How much are we boiling with stuff that we heard that somebody said who said? And then you talk to them, you say, what? Man, I got to tell you, that happens to me all the time. First of all, just speaking to people is tough enough in life. Don't you just want to kind of shut down? Pray for like a sore throat. I got laid. Just, how many of you are married? Raise your hands. You're married. Well, put your hands down. How many of you are single? Raise your hands. Okay. All right. I just had a thought. I was thinking, single. Maybe all the single people should sit in this section. And then all the... That has nothing to do with the study. But, because you know, single people want to meet single people. And I'd rather meet, if you're single, you ought to meet a single person at church instead of Joe's Bar and Grill. You know, I mean, it's just you catch the kind of fish, you know, anyway. Create the atmosphere to speak to them alone, that they're safe. And you ask them, is this true? No, it's not true. Or yes, it is true. Or, well, you know, and you can talk. Why? Because you're brothers in Christ Jesus. Both of you should by now understand. I've been forgiven a lot. And so I owe this to my brother and sister to talk to them in a setting that is, first of all, without prejudice, without judgment, without a preconceived, listen, outcome. We are to meet with them to win our brother back, not to win the argument. Will you write that down? That's brilliant. That's the Lord. Get together not to win the argument, but to win your brother back to the Lord. Privacy. Jesus is commanding that there be a atmosphere of privacy. To maintain an atmosphere, why? Of restoration. To spare shame and resentment. It diffuses, by the way, the intensity. Prevents gossip. Wow. And by doing so, that does not add to the sin. If someone sins against me or I sin against them, and the moment I take that outside of that circle of sin and I confess it to Clyde or to anyone else, and I say, well, you know what? You know, boy, the other day, whew, you should have been there. Bob just went off. He was just freaking out, cussing and cursing and biting the tree and going nuts, man. And now I've just polluted Clyde's heart. And he had nothing to do with the situation. Look, in my gossip, I have just committed a greater sin than what that person did against me. Do you hear that? And the church does this every day. Christians do this every day. And it's gossip. And the Bible says, God says, I hate those who sow discord among the brethren. Wow. In preparing for this message, I wrote this down. And if it means something to you, then grab it, because God gave it to my heart. And if it blesses you, then grab it. And it's this: I will never really love someone unless my love is greater than their sin against me. Because, listen, because I do love them, I'm willing then to reach out to them if I love them. So did you get that? I will never really love someone unless my love is greater than their sin. Did you hear that? Do you know, when I heard that in meditation and just, I wrote that down. Gosh, Lord, that is so true. And then it dawned on me. This point is, we are to forgive because Jesus, be like Jesus. And that came into my heart, went down on the piece of paper, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. That's the definition of Jesus, is it not? Listen, that He loved all of us so much that His love was greater than our sin.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Parable of the Unmerciful Servant. It's a look at Matthew 18, verses 22 through 35. The Parable of the Unmerciful Servant is actually a series within a series, and part of Pastor Jack's collection of studies on the parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, just last week, we presented to you part of Pastor Jack's series called Love Beyond Measure. Of course, it was in commemoration of Passion Week. And we want to let you know that our offer still stands, the entire series Love Beyond Measure. It's a four-part series that explores the messianic status and claims of Jesus of Nazareth, His final atonement for sin, what the Passover means, why He is called the Lamb of God, and so on. And all of them are yours on DVD for your gift to Real Radio of any amount. Whether you call, click, or write, just ask for it by name, the Love Beyond Measure series. It's Pastor Jack's collection of Passion Week lessons on DVD. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or if you'd like, send your tax-deductible gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.